Alrighty, folks. It is a special edition of Live in 5. I would say episode 26.5, 26 and a hook. It is the NHL trade deadline special, joined here, as always, by the People's Insider, but an actual insider over here from the fourth period, reoccurring guest and friend of the show, Dave Pignota. Dave, thanks for coming by, brother. Always good to chop it up with you. And how we doing, baby? Where are we at right now?
We're good. The phone's charged. The sleep is already deprived, so that's nice. Three, four more days of that, but it's getting there. It's a wave right now. Like one hour, it's high. The next hour, everything kind of dips. So you just got to ride with it.
Yeah, ride the waves, baby. And you always got to have that one. You maybe even need to add another phone to that cell phone plan. You know what I mean? You might have to go call your guy over at AT&T or Rogers and get the bat phone going, because this time of year, yep, you might have to be going full Kyle Dubas sitting at the draft table where you got the two phones like Kevin Gates on speed dial. But Pegs, last time I seen you, I mean, you were so good to me at the All-Star game. It was my first year popping in there as a media guy, or whatever you call it, being boots on the ground. I mean, have you recovered from Escobar at 4 a.m., brother? Because we took it deep that night. We took it deep.
Yeah, we did. That was unexpected. That was
a sneaky one.
Yeah, I kind of looked at each other like, I guess we're going for it.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah, that I needed like 72 hours of just straight hibernation at that point. Just fully recover, recharge, and get back in the swing of it. It took me a little longer because the Leafs had a game on Monday against the Islanders. So there was like minimal rest on Sunday, go to the game, and then like till Thursday, I just crashed.
That was the Patty Mahomes 2-minute drill, like times four. It was just up and back from King Street. But I wanted to get you on, brother, this week. Obviously, we have the NHL trade deadline approaching on Friday. Meeting of the minds over here, as we call it, with the fourth period and the People's Insider. Just starting at the top, I think, you know, the biggest name, as far as I'm concerned, in terms of the forward market, is a guy like Jake Guentzel. And it is being reported now that he is going to probably be a rental versus a sign-and-trade. So what are we hearing on the Pittsburgh front? Is that a guy that gets moved by tomorrow, or is that going to lead into, you know, Friday, if you will?
They'd like to kind of get this out of the way sooner rather than later, now that it's been revealed that they will trade him. That's their plan in Pitt. And they have so many other moving parts too, because they have guys with term that they're trying to also move. So to get this piece out of the way and kind of set the bar with respect to at least their plans, that's what Dubas and company over there in Pitt want to do. So they're like, whether it's Vegas or Carolina or Vancouver or Edmonton or, you know, a couple other teams kind of poking around, Florida and a few others, the Penguins want to get this done sooner rather than later. They don't want to wait till the seventh hour right before D-Day on Friday to pull this off. So it sounds like they're getting there. The asking price hasn't changed. It's the first round pick. It's a top prospect who's NHL ready, or already in the show, and a third asset, depending on what that player is like. And it's equivalent too. Like if it's two top-notch, ready to go prospects that are first round equivalent and an additional pick, I think Pittsburgh will go in that direction. But it sounds like they've set themselves a plan to trade him. And he's also set himself a plan to test the waters as a free agent July 1. So that's, you're right, this is a full rental scenario, but it's a high price to pay.
I would love to see him in Florida, you know, down there in FLA and playing with that team. I think he fits in really well. Another team I think he fits in really well, Pegs, is a team like Carolina. Now, historically, Carolina and Don Waddell and their owner there, Tom Dundon, they aren't crazy about rentals. They like to get guys in trades. They like to get them under contract. Now, would they be willing to budge because they feel like they have the team to go do it this year? Or what are you hearing on the Carolina front? Because I do think they need scoring. But again, you know, history says that they're not really a team that likes rentals or really approves of those situations.
Yeah, they don't. And Tom Dundon, the owner, is right at the top of the one calling those particular shots. And it's a combo of Donnie Waddell and Eric Tulsky, their AGM, that kind of try to make things work, and Tom just gives the final approval. But you're right, they don't like spending on high price rentals. They don't want to give out assets for short-term fixes, and at the same time they don't want to pay a premium for that short-term fix either, like dollar wise so it's going to be interesting to see how they navigate it. They definitely want to add a forward. They want to add somebody up front. So whether it's a Gensel or they kind of circle back with Tarasenko as a possibility, they tried to sign him in the summer, or it's a Vetrano who has 1 year left, or Buchnevich who has another year left. Like, they're more inclined to pay more money, or excuse me, more assets, I should say, for guys with term versus a Gensel, for example. So I'm curious to see what direction they go in there. Now, obviously, with the Vancouver stuff that came out and Martin Nekas being a primary piece on what they were offering the Canucks and what they would have moved or were willing to move in that respect for Elias Pettersson. I wonder if that's something in play there where they, for a long term, for a guy with term, that they look to make more of a hockey trade, probably more of a summer type thing, but I wouldn't discount it.
So are these teams all waiting on what the price is for Gensel, and that kind of sets the market appropriately and everything, kind of the dominoes start to fall in terms of, now if Gensel gets off the board, say tomorrow, now you look at a guy like Frank Vetrano, his asking price, Pavel Buchnevich. So is it like the big fish right now is kind of dangling there and teams are waiting, okay, once Gensel's off the board, whoever gets him, now we can go down our board of players like Tarasenko, Pavel Buchnevich, Anthony Mantha, Anthony Duclair. Is that how this kind of works, Pegs, in terms of like the pecking order?
Yeah, teams want to know, first of all, if they're in it. And if they're in the race and if they everyone kind of understands what the asking price is now. So if they, you know, if it's Carolina or the Rangers or Florida or whoever's in a race for a player, if they feel they can stay in that race, they'll stay there and they'll, on the sidelines, create their plan B, C, and D. And as soon as they know they're out on this, on whatever their plan A is, then they cycle to plan B. But that typically happens in the few days leading, like now, basically, around 2-3 days before the deadline. That's when some of these teams realize, okay, we're not going to be in on this player. We're out on that guy. We're out on this guy. We have to focus and shift our attention elsewhere. Like Edmonton tried to get Chris Tanev out of Calgary, had a pretty decent offer on the table. They were told no. They started to shift gears and go to like a Sean Walker or even Matt Dumba and trying to then look at guys with term on their contracts as well, to see where they can add on the back end. This Edmonton wants to add both. They want to add a defenseman and a forward. Right. So as soon as you find that out, then it's, all right, shift mode, go to the next one and try to find out what that price is.
I just feel like this year more than ever, there's so many teams looking for the same type of player, like a left shot winger, a guy that can score inside your top six, and then like a very snarly defenseman. You look at teams like Edmonton, they're looking for both. Vegas even looking for a left winger. Carolina looking for some scoring, as well as teams even like the New York Rangers, who would like to peel back a guy like Vetrano and see what the asking price is there, and maybe even get like a middle six option of a Nick Bjugstad or a Nick Dowd. So I'm just trying to think, like Pegs, like what is, you know, in terms of even like a team like Detroit, are like they're looking for some snarl on their with their D-man? Are they still looking for a top six guy? Stevie Y clearly didn't want to go give Gensel probably the 8-year ticket. So what is a team like Detroit who is gonna probably get into the playoffs, but you know, I guess if you get in the dance, anything can happen, but are they going all in terms of, you know, they're at the poker table like Johnny Chan, they're pushing those things all in, or are they just sitting back and say, we like our group, if we can add maybe a defenseman with some snarl that, you know, maybe we win a round or two and see what happens?
Yeah, Yzerman's slow playing it. He's definitely slow playing this one, and it's hard to get info out of Detroit. It's almost one of the hardest spots right now to try to get intel out of. But you're right. They want to add up front. They want to augment their D a little bit. If they could add to the bottom pair, Justin Hall is a guy they're trying to move out dollar-wise, they'd like to do that. But in terms of up front, you're right. It's term. Like they're fishing, but they want somebody who's either controllable, as, say, his contract's expired, he's an RFA, or he's got term on his contract. And I don't think just 1 year. Like I think, like, obviously, Buchnevich would be great for a lot of teams, but I think they're looking for somebody that's got more term and is more controllable, that can fit with the core more longer term. They're willing to move out some pieces. Like Jonathan Berggren is a player that's been out there for basically most of the season. He's been lighting it up lately in the AHL. He wouldn't mind a change of scenery. And because he hasn't been given that opportunity in Detroit, he had a quick cup of coffee this season. They called him up for a bit because they had injuries, and then they shipped him back down. And he hasn't missed a beat in the A. He's a young player. He's a restricted free agent at the end of the season. They offered him an extension. He actually turned it down, and he's hoping for that change. So they're utilizing him as an asset, and some teams like him. Calgary likes him. A few other teams, Montreal, a few others, have shown interest there. So Detroit's looking, but very strategically, I don't think they play a big part in the rental. Look, something falls into their lap for a fifth round pick, different story. But right. top tier level, they want someone that can be part of that core moving forward.
No, that makes sense. And Stevie Y, just what a chess player he is.
Oh, yeah.
How about shifting West Pegs over to Vancouver? And I know that Tommy Fitzgerald came out and said that there's no way they're moving on from a guy like Tyler Toffoli, who I call Tyler Tuck Foley, because all he does is score. To me, it just seems like that is such a fit with Vancouver and Toffoli. He's been there before. He was a deadline deal, I believe, in 1920. He came over there, had a great playoff. I think it was in the bubble, but still, he's a guy that has 26 odd goals this year. He's still getting it done. He doesn't have to play with a crazy pace in terms of, you know, he's a very cerebral player. And I think they have some of those guys on their team as of now. And you look at a guy like Brock Besser. So it would work there, a second power play he could add to. Talk to me about Tuck Foley out of New Jersey, because I just think him going to Vancouver would be so good. And then what is Vancouver looking for?
Yeah, well, look, with his situation in Jersey, they want to sign him and he's interested in staying, but he wants longer term. I don't think they're willing to go beyond 4 years right now, and it sounds like he wants north of that. So, I mean, dollar-wise, he's going to get a raise. He's going to get that. That's going to get kicked up a little bit, but it really comes down to term. And Tom Fitzgerald, he spoke today, he said that's where the difference is. And it didn't sound like he was confident they'd be able to bridge that gap by the deadline. And that could just be posturing on his side, trying to be, you know, the negotiation tactic or whatnot. Right. But if they can't get him signed and they don't get what they're looking for, and it's a high, like it's a first round pick plus a top prospect for Tyler Toffoli right now. And right. if they get that from Van or wherever else, then they'll pull the trigger, because it kind of forces them. If not, he even said it today. Fitzy said, look, if I'm moving him out, what's that message to my room? Basically, we're throwing in the towel is what he said. So the situation in Jersey, I'm a little critical of, especially with the coaching change. I get that Lindy Ruff didn't adjust accordingly, but I don't think he had the assets to really adjust.
Right.
They didn't get anybody on the back end to replace Dougie Hamilton's minutes. We know they haven't done anything in goal. So there's a lot of blame up top too, and he ate some of that as well. But I think with Toffoli, they're in a 50-50 pattern. If they get what they want, they'll probably move him. If not, they'll take their chances and try to get them done before the season ends, or at least before July 1. Now, a team like Vancouver, they're not done by any stretch. They're in on Gensel still. They're kicking the tires on Toffoli. They're looking at other options as well to see who they can add. Even a guy just down the coast from them, Adam Henrique, who's on an expiring deal, who the Ducks would be willing to retain about half of that deal. And he's versatile. Play center, could play the left side. They want to bring in somebody that can help provide some secondary scoring punch. Elias Lindholm's taking a little bit of time to adjust. They want somebody that can step in and provide some extra flair. So that's not only on Besser, Miller, and Petey.
Right. No, that makes sense. And even just shifting East Pegs to a guy that he is playing in the West right now, just a little north and a little east of Vancouver, is a defenseman and an American defenseman in Noah Hanifin. Now, all signs lead to Tampa Bay in a guy like this. Clearly, it would be a sign and trade with an 8-year deal. But can Tampa fit this guy in right now in terms of where they're at with their cap? And is Julian Breezeball, we know he's an aggressive guy. We know that he would do it if he firmly believes in this guy. And I think he does, especially with Mikhail Sergachev being out of the lineup for an extended period of time. But say Tampa Bay makes this move, does that mean a guy like Steven Stamkos would probably not be re-signed for the next year? And you got to factor that in too, brother.
Yeah, 100%. And that's I think, part of the equation from Tampa's side of things. Okay, we can get Noah Hanifin in. His cap hits under $5 million right now. They have, what is it, $7.25 million in cap space. They can afford it. Now isn't the issue. You're 100% right. It's next season. Like, because they have to fit Stammer in. And even if – not just next season. If you're getting Hanifin long-term, well, that other guy on defense that you got, Victor Hedman, he's got one more year on his deal. He's got a re-up too. So it's not just thinking about next season. It's a few seasons beyond that, even with the salary cap jumping. So I think Calgary, I don't know this 100% yet. One person said that wasn't the case. Two people have said it was, so I'm take it with for what it's worth right now. But Anthony Cirelli's name has popped up.
Really?
A player that Calgary has at least asked on in some fashion. He doesn't have any no trade protection right now. He's got a $6.25 million clip, and he's got a lot of term on his deal. That's the kind of player without Lindholm in the middle in Calgary that they would love to be able to get their hands on. Now, whether that's a realistic option from, you know, their side of things, I'm not exactly sure. From Tampa's, I'm hesitant to say it may be.
Right.
But two people around the league told me that they heard that his name kind of popping up. So, if that is the case, that makes more sense long term and financially. Because you basically take that $6.25 and you give it to Hanifin, maybe a little bit more, no state tax. He's going to ask or probably get less than $7.5 million per year. So you can juggle that, massage it, and still have enough room to get Stamkos signed, to get a couple other guys locked in as well into that lineup next season with the cap change. It's an interesting scenario.
You imagine Cirelli, he might have the Huey Dooby Doo syndrome. He's trading in the Ferrari, he's driving the GMC pickup now, and he's trying to not seeing the sun. And oh my God, my only bar here is Cowboys. Holy fuck, we're not on the beach anymore, baby.
No, a little bit different, a little bit less sunshine, a little less sunshine.
For sure. But Pegs, I wanted to ask you in terms of just a couple of guys in and around the desert, obviously me being a Mullet Arena fanatic over here in Scottsdale, the greater Phoenix Tempe area. Is the asking price Bill Armstrong is still floating out there with Matt Dumba? Is it still a first round pick? And is he holding firm to that right now as we approach the deadline?
Yeah, that was the initial price. And I think after Tanev was dealt for a second and a pick or a prospect, I think he's loosened the reins on that. I think there's more of a likelihood that, you know, him, even Jason Zucker, different position, obviously, but a forward, they're going to have to retain on his deal.
Yep.
The price is, I think it's migrated to a second round pick.
Okay.
It depends again on money. So if they're retaining, maybe that modifies things a little bit. I don't think anybody's given up. I was surprised that was the price in the first place. I guess you can ask, shoot your shot and figure it out.
Yeah.
I think they've reeled back on the first round pick for now.
Where does a guy like Dumba, where is he drawing interest? I had heard initially it was Tampa Bay, it was Colorado, it was Toronto. Now Toronto went and got Labushkin as a right shot defenseman to play in their, you know, 5-6 hole. Yeah. Where is a guy like Matt Dumba attracting most interest? Is Edmonton still in the mix there? Are they looking to add something like that to their back end in the 5-6 position?
Yeah. The Oilers are still there. Toronto is still there, even with the Labushkin ad. Those are teams, even Boston, I'll add them to the mix as well. The Bruins looking to not only bring in somebody up front at the center position. And they're one of the teams, by the way, that have been poking around for a while on Alex Wenberg. We're still waiting to see where he ends up after he was pulled from the lineup yesterday, but the Rangers, Colorado, Carolina also went on him. But Boston in the mix also on the D side. They poked around on Hanifin. It seems like it's been shifting Tampa's way for the time being. They could circle back there, but I definitely throw the Bruins in the mix there as well to see if they can add to their back end as well. And it's not a big, like 3.9. Again, Arizona has the retention slots available to them. So if they want, they can utilize it there. They can utilize it on Zucker. They can utilize it potentially on another asset, expiring asset, because that's, I think, the preference. So there are options. But, you know, teams like the Oilers, for example, this is another team. They're looking at their plan A, B, C, and D. They're looking at, you know, Tanev's out. All right, well, you know, Hanifin, price is too high there, and he plays a different side. And they're open to either the right or the left side. They just want to upgrade that back end. So Dumba is an option. Some other players, Sean Walker and Nick Seeler in Philly, they had interest in both of those guys. And I still think that they're still poking around, and that could still be a possibility there. They're looking around to see guys with term. David Savard in Montreal. Would the Canadiens take back a player for any major move that the Oilers have to do is likely going to result in a player leaving. So what teams can take back a player and are willing to do it for a guy who has another year left on his contract, like Cody Ceci, for example? He's out there. He'd like to stay, but I think he understands he might be a casualty of the cap situation there. So are the Habs willing to take back a high pick and a player for a guy like David Savard? I think there might be some traction there too.
Yeah, it's crazy that CeCe's name is being floated out there, and especially just some of the names that would be going the other way. Like, I just think if you're Edmonton, you're Kenny Holland, you're Jeff Jackson there, you got to be really cognizant of what you have. And you see him score the other night, yeah, all fired up the boys, where it's almost like, ah, oh, this could be one of his last games here. Like, shit, like, you never know. And I just think, like, if you're going to upgrade from CeCe, like, I think it's got to be like a, you got to be going up at least a couple floors, right? You don't have to go to the penthouse pegs, but you can't be going from level 3 to level 5 and we still got the same view of the garden. We don't have the city view. So it's just like, I just think in terms of it, you got to be cognizant of there if you're the GM, Kenny Holland and Jeff Jackson there. So we'll see on that front. One of the last teams I wanted to ask you, we touched on it a little bit, but Boston. I mean, I think these guys are similar to Colorado where they need a center iceman. And are they going to go get one?
Yeah, they've been trying, you know. And the thing with them, just like Edmonton, they have no cap space. So it's money in, money out. And they've been quietly looking around to see if there's a market for Jake DeBrusk. He's got a $4 million cap hit. He's on an expiring contract. He's dipped a little bit offensively this season, although he had a hell of a night last night against the Leafs. He usually plays well against Toronto. He had a good game against Toronto last night. Maybe that helps that situation. But any big move for them, they got to move somebody out. So they've been kind of working that and exploring what's going on. I don't think Ullmark is an option right now, realistically. I think they hold on to that. And probably, almost certainly, but I'll say probably move him in the summer. Looks like they're going to stay on Swayman's side. So if they can, and as I said, they're in on Wennberg. They have been. If that doesn't work, Henrique is also an option. And they're gonna kind of spread it out from there to see, you know, who else could potentially be available. So there's some interesting pieces that are kind of going about here for the Boston Bruins. And again, if they move somebody in, someone's got to go. DeBrusk is the name right now that's being floated around.
Like, how about Pegs? Like, does a guy like Nick Bjugstad, who's skating probably the best he has in 10 years, he had those back issues. He's figured it out up until this point over the last couple of years. And I've just watched him down in the desert. Like, he's skating probably the best I've seen him in his NHL career right now, just the way he's changed his training regimen, different things. And I think, like, I don't know if he necessarily wants to get moved, but is that a guy that teams are calling and inquiring on with Bill Armstrong? Because I just think, like, you know, a third line center, fourth line center at worst, like, he's pretty good. And he's 6'6". He kills penalties. He's actually added a little bit of criminal to his game this year where he's playing a little bit harder. So is that one name that might get moved with a little bit of term in terms of he has another year left on his deal as well? Yeah.
Yeah, and then that's what's attractive to some teams, the fact that he has another deal and his cap hit isn't that huge. It's it might just be over two per year. And teams saw what he did with the Oilers. They saw what he did when he was brought in last playoff run and his contribution. So contending teams, they have long memories when it comes to those kinds of players. There have been inquiries. I don't know if you know, Bill Armstrong has a huge appetite to move him at this stage because – again, good cap hit, good guy in the room, good asset to have, and he's been playing well this season. I think it's going to – and I don't know what the price is, but whatever the price is, basically team's going to have to overpay at this point in order to get Bjugstad out of Zona. So we'll see kind of how that develops. And teams always poke around. As soon as they know you're starting to sell, they're going to start vulturing in and seeing who they can pick up and is this guy available, that guy available. So, you know, if you hear some crazy names every once in a while, not just with the Coyotes, but just across the board over these next few days – don't be surprised. It's just teams trying to pry guys away and letting, you know, some people like us every once in a while say, hey, why don't you throw that out there? See if that changes the narrative for a team.
Right. Yeah. And even you see a guy like Joel Hanley clear waivers and he ends up in Calgary. Now, you mentioned his name earlier with Philadelphia. Nick Seeler to Dallas, for me, just makes a ton of sense. He plays hard. He's got that edge. He's got a little bit of just swagger in his own right. He was a 93 born, so he's the same age as me. I played against him all the way up, and he's kind of just been that same player with just a bunch. He just plays with, you know, big balls and some snarl back there. Yeah. Is that one guy that you could add to the Dallas Stars if you're Jim Neal? And I'd be like, wow, this guy really fits our culture and what we need.
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of teams that would love that caliber player, that depth piece that you add, your bottom pair on the left side, a guy that has that aggressiveness to his game. And Dallas isn't done, I don't think, anyway. I think they're still looking around to see if they can bring in, either on the back end or up front in their bottom six, that caliber player. I could certainly see it. And right now, Philly is trying to get him signed. They came at him, or excuse me, the Steelers camp came at the Flyers with a 4-year offer. That because he's a UFA at the end of the year. That hasn't. They've gone back and forth. I think Philly's more comfortable with 3 years, but the money will have to drop on that side. Same with Sean Walker. Although Oppo, they've offered him a 4-year contract. I think his camp's looking for 5. So can they bridge the gap on either side in the next few days? And if they can't, then they'll continue to kind of work the lines. But Sealer for a team like Dallas would certainly be a nice ad. And there are other teams out there that are looking to bring it. Like even we talked about Toronto looking, that's the caliber of player depth wise they need more balls to the wall kind of guys on that club.
Yeah. 100%. What it just out of curiosity, Pegs, being the people's insider over here, what is Sealer looking for on a 3 or 4 year ticket? Is that like a $2.5 million AAV? More? What? Fuck, I might have to dust my pads off and try to get an AHL one way and work my way up. Really?
Keep going. Yeah, I think they used the Erica Branson contract, 4x4, as a comparable.
Oh my, wow.
I don't know. I don't think the initial offer was 4 sheets per. I think it was just below that, but it was over a 4-year deal. And I think Philly's more comfortable closer to the 2.5 to 3 range.
Right.
But they came in strong. I guess I don't blame them.
Yeah.
But I think if they do bridge that gap, it's going to start with a 3 if he stays in Philly.
Yeah. 3.25, 3.5, somewhere in there. But that's pretty good coin there. Last guy I wanted to ask you on in terms of just a guy out of Chicago. You know, we mentioned some depth players, but there's a guy like Tyler Johnson. Is he floating around? Is his cap hit too high? I know there have been some reports linked to New York with Chris Drury kicking the tires on that one in terms of a couple of other guys in the middle six as well in New York, a Colin Blackwell in Chicago, Rooney, who has a little bit of familiarity there, maybe even Nick Doubt and Kunin. But let's just start with Tyler Johnson. Is he going to be staying put or is he going to be on the move? Does he still have some miles there? I just haven't watched Chicago a ton. I'm going to watch him tonight, but I'm just curious.
First of all, Chicago's going to have to retain half of that deal. If it happens. So if they're able to do that and willing to do that, I think he's a plan C, D for a lot of teams that are looking to add. If you can get him around that $2 million mark or two and a half, whatever the halfway point is, I think he's a lot more attractive for a team looking to kind of shore up that back end. The bottom six, for a contender club. I think it wouldn't surprise me at all if he's moved. Blackwell as well, generating a little bit of attention out of there. But I think it's more of those are your last minute. It's 2:00. We're an hour from the trade deadline. All right, let's see if they'll take a 5th-round pick kind of deal.
Right. Yeah. Just kind of a grab bag a little bit, if you will.
Yeah.
Jake Chychrun, from my reports in Ottawa, is probably not going to be moved at the deadline, Pegs. I think they're going to wait until the draft in terms of Steve Staios and camp up there in Ottawa. Is that check out?
There's more interest in him. It's kind of gotten back. So end of January is when his name really started to poke or pop up, rather, and teams were poking around on him after word got out that teams were calling and Staios was listening. And then it kind of dialed down a little bit and it's kind of revamped because, again, the D market teams looking at options for guys that have outside of the rentals, who's got a year left that we could run with for two playoff runs. You have Chychrun. I mentioned Savard. Marcus Pedersen in Pittsburgh is generating interest as well. He's got a year left on his deal. Ivan Provorov in Columbus, a year left on his. So these guys that have 1 year left on their deals, they've generated interest. But with Ottawa, if they move out Chychrun, it's a hockey trade. You're swapping talent. It's talent for talent. They have no interest in moving them out for more picks and more prospects and all that. If they move them out, I think they either want to address the right side of their decor or they want to bring in somebody that's got top six potential or is a top six guy right now in a larger deal.
Right. And my last question here for you, Pegs, I appreciate you joining us over here on the Insider Special. Gun to your chin, and who knows where this guy ends up, but who gets the big fish in Jake Guentzel if you were a betting man right now sitting here on Tuesday on deadline day? Who are you going with in terms of where is Guentzel going?
I it's one I I think it's one of the two teams that start with a V.
Yeah.
I think it's Vancouver or Vegas.
Yep. I was going to say Vegas.
Yeah. The both of them have been pretty aggressive. Now, I don't know what happens with, Vancouver's overall cap situation plus the assets. Like, you know, after bringing in Lindholm, and there were a lot of teams that had interest in Lindholm. There was some talk, maybe they, because it hasn't worked out, do you flip him? Do you not? I don't know if that's realistic or not. But I think Vancouver and Vegas are the two teams. Edmonton's been trying to, but because of a rental situation, I don't know. They may go in a different direction there because they have Broberg and they have the first and whatnot. But if I have to pick one of those or pick some teams, I'm picking either Vancouver or Winnipeg. I might flip, Winnipeg, where'd they come from? Vegas. I would flip a coin on one of those two.
I like it. Folks, that is our trade deadline special over here. DP, when you come into the desert, brother, we got to get out here, tee it up, hang out. You got to get that on the calendar.
I'm planning on doing it right before the season wraps. So get a couple games okay. in before and head back to Mullet. I've been to Mullet a few times. I was yep. up for the first game. I don't have it with me now, but I have the mullet that they gave out to all the yep. fans. So
yeah, well, I got a couple in the closet if you need one. I got a wig guy as well. So whatever you need, I can get perfect. You dialed in.
Yeah, yeah, I've noticed. Yeah, I think you got a few of those.
Yeah, exactly. Nice. Yeah. Folks, yeah, no, go ahead.
Yeah, just open. Yeah, January, man, I'm all over the place. April.
Yeah.
Get me in there in April. I'll be there, right before the season wraps.
I like it. And I appreciate you coming on here. Trade deadline special. Always fun chopping it up with you. You are the first reoccurring guest at Live and Five.
Oh,
so
wow.
Tap a little cap tip to you, my friend. So
thank you.
Couple clicks here for DP. Yeah. Folks, that is the trade deadline special. This will come out on Wednesday. We'll see where we're at. But again, thank you for joining us. And as always, the People's Insider with a real insider, Dave Pagnotta. Thanks again, brother.